Wonderful to be with you tonight as we continue to look at the life of Abraham, but discovering more about who God is. Tonight we'll be focusing on the fulfillment of this promise of an heir that God made to Abraham and Sarah. Now, let me ask you, first of all, have you ever heard an infectious laugh? I think we've all experienced that in life where when someone laughs, you just can't help but laugh with them. In the 8:30 service, we knew exactly who that was. In the 10:30 service, I could see some people nod. I think I'm getting to realize in the 6:30 service, there might be one or two of you who can identify with this as well. We had a friend back in college who had such a laugh, and I dreaded going to the movies with him because he would start laughing and the whole theater would just turn back and look at him and start laughing. And often we weren't even in a comedy. Could have been a horror movie and he'd start laughing and everyone started laughing, so he'd kill the mood. You might relate to that. Maybe you can recall a joke that just makes you laugh. Often teenagers have those kind of quirky jokes. It's like it's knock-knock, not even funny joke, but when they think about it, they just start laughing. Or it might be a video clip or a movie that if you just see that, you can't help yourself but laugh. Often in life, it's also when things just seem so impossible that we almost just giggle because it's so impossible that we just find it so funny. Let me tell you two things. I'll share with you three things that happened in this church the last couple of weeks. I won't mention names, but some of our toddlers has done this. So one of our little boys in church shared as they were talking about hot things, taking that out of an oven. He just mentioned, well, he can grab anything out of a hot oven with his bare hands because he doesn't feel any pain. And when you hear that, you kind of laugh because you know that's not true. Another young little girl, I think she's in preschool age, is saving up her money. And she got to about $70, that's where she's at the moment. And she keeps on saying when she gets to 100, she's going to buy a car. And when I heard that the first time, I laughed as well. It's almost the same, and I mentioned this 10:30 as well, it's almost the same as me coming to you today saying, next year, City to Serve, I will be signing up and I'll be winning that event. And it's quite impossible, even if I think exercise and practice, we're not going to happen. We'll train for that. This is what happened in this passage as well. A normal reaction of starting to giggle when things just seem so impossible. We actually find the word laughter in all these chapters. If you have a look from the chapters 15 to 21, every single chapter mentions laughter. It's mentioned in Genesis 17. We didn't read that, but that Abraham laughed at this as well. Genesis 17, verse 17, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? He just seemed a little bit ridiculous. He could probably just imagine him at the age of 100, his wife at the age of 90, strolling down the streets of Canaan with little pram and just thinking, yeah, that's not going to happen. He found that funny. Sarah found it funny as well. We read in chapters 18 and 21 that she laughed. But on those two occasions, she laughed for different reasons. In chapter 18, she laughed because she didn't think it would ever be possible. In chapters 21, she laughed because she found joy in what the Lord had given her. I want us to focus on those two occasions tonight when she was laughing and just reflect on what was happening, what God did in providing an heir to them. So in Genesis 18, we read the story of two angels coming to visit Abraham and Sarah and give them, share them this message that in a year's time she will have a son. Now, she was hiding at the door or at the entrance of the tent, listening to what the men were saying inside. Probably wasn't allowed inside, was official business. where men were meeting, so she just stayed outside and listened to what they were saying. And then they told Abraham that his wife Sarah would have a little boy. And she started giggling. It's not going to happen, she thought. How can it be? I'm 90. I'm past that age. My husband's old and wrinkly. He's not going to father a child anymore. He's 100. And she started laughing. And even when she was confronted by this, she denied and she lied and said, I didn't lie. I didn't laugh at all. And then she was told, no, you did laugh. I think we almost have a bit of sympathy for Sarah. Think about this. I mean, she followed Abraham out of the land of his origins, out of Ur. This was more than 30 years ago. She continued to follow him, knowing that God made these promises, hoping that they would come true at some stage, holding on to what God had said he would provide. At one stage, she even thought, well, maybe I should take matters in my own hand. Maybe I'll give Abraham my slave to be with, and if they father a child, then at least Abraham has a descendant. So God hasn't provided, but maybe I can have that done in some way. Well, this wasn't God's way, and I won't say much more about that because the preacher of next week will be focusing on that passage. But 12 years passed since that day, and still no heir. Still God doesn't provide. She's just getting older and older and older. And it just seems impossible. And she laughs. You know what? The world, I think, look at Christianity the same way, and they laugh at us. We believe in a Savior who died on a cross and saved all of us through that. And they laugh. They think about Christ rising on the third day. Someone rising from the dead. And they laugh. They see how people hold on to their faith and trust in God and through all circumstances depend on God. And they laugh. What they don't realize and what we know to be true and what we see in this passage is how God fulfills His promises. How He stays faithful. How He's able to do what seems to be impossible. And we find the same thing happen here. If you turn to chapter 21, you'll see how it starts in verse 1 by saying, "The Lord was gracious to Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised." So often in the Bible we find that God provides life out of situations where life just doesn't seem possible. When we come to a dead end, when things just seem impossible and nothing can change the situation or the circumstances we're in, that's when God provides an outcome to us. And this changed the life for Sarah. Once again she laughs. And this is what she says in verse 6. "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." They won't laugh at me anymore, but they will laugh with me because God has brought me joy. See, up to this point, everything God told them and all the promises He made seemed to be only mere words. But now it became a reality. She was holding a little boy in her hands, and as she looked at this little boy, she knew that this is God's promises come true. It's jubilation. Her laughter is rejoicing in what the Lord has done. She now sees in front of her that the Lord is faithful, that the Lord is almighty, that He can give us anything that He desires to give us. When He makes a promise, He delivers. When she looked at this little boy, she couldn't name him anything else but laughter. He who laughs, Isaac. That's what the name means. And I can just imagine every single time when she held him in her hands, how she would have looked in his face and probably had a smile all over again. Maybe even remembering how she laughed in disbelief. But also just seeing the promises of God being fulfilled. How that joy just made her smile every single time. Let me jump ahead 2,000 years. We found a situation with Sarah where she was too old and where life wasn't possible in her anymore. But 2,000 years afterwards, we find a similar situation where there was a young woman, too young to have kids, never been with a man. Life not possible in her, and yet God provides. Luke 1 verse 35, the angel spoke to Mary and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." In sending us the Savior, once again, God provides what seems to be impossible. He provides life, not only to Mary and Joseph, but He provides the life, or the one who will bring life to all of us even today. Life out of a situation of death, or no possible life. Think back at Isaac. He was the fulfillment of this promise. We can see life being born. A life that we would be fulfilled, and a birth that would be fulfilled when our Savior was born as well. And God is able to do whatever He wishes. He's able to do this. You see, the world may mock us, and the world may look at us, and the world may laugh at us because of our faith. But we know we have a God who is able to do more than we can imagine. We see this in the life of Jesus Himself, the one who we follow, as Randy mentioned. This is how He does the impossible. The first miracle He does, He just changes the substance of something. He takes water and turns that into wine. If He wanted to walk on water, He would just walk on water. If He wanted to make the deaf hear, He would make the deaf hear. If He wanted to make the blind see, He would do so. If He wanted to make the lame walk, He would just help them, take them by the hand, have them stand up, and they would be walking. He even raises the dead from the grave. It just makes us think, I think, about how we see God's ability and how we limit Him in what we expect of Him, and how we sometimes think He's only able to do what we can imagine, what we would hope He would be doing. And yet He's able to do so much more than that. Let me take you back to Genesis 15, the first chapter we heard today, where God makes His promise of an heir, where God appears to Abraham in a vision while he was in his tent and tells him that he would have an heir. And Abraham kind of frowned that, and then God takes him outside of the tent and shows him the stars and tells him, "That is how your descendants will be." And he believes that. So I think you kind of have to imagine yourself with Abraham at that point. How he was inside of this man-made tent, and how he was almost limiting his expectations of God. He could only see up to the ceiling of the tent itself. But God physically took him outside so that he could see all the stars of the universe. Expect more. Don't tempt yourself in your expectations of what the Lord can do and can provide. He can provide the stars. There's a quote I want to share with you tonight that someone made called F.B. Meyer, a theologian from some years back, in a commentary about this. This is what he says. "Unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God. But faith puts God between us and our circumstances." So I'll repeat it again. "Unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God, but faith puts God between us and our circumstances." See, it's looking beyond the ceiling that we have. It's expecting more from God because He's able to deliver so much more. If you have a look once again at Genesis 15, you'll understand, you'll see that Abraham had this desire, if only he could have an heir, one son. If that would be his descendant, one person, he would be happy and God would have provided. And at that point, God takes him outside and says, "No, not just one, the stars. Try and count them. That is how your descendants will be. Paul writes to the Romans and says, we who believe, and in fact we who believe today even, are the descendants of Abraham. You and I are the stars that Abraham saw. God can provide so much more. It doesn't mean that He will provide everything we desire. He provides according to His will. But we shouldn't limit Him according to what we think He's able to give. He's able to do more than we can imagine. I can't even start to mention the things that God can do tonight, because I can't even imagine what that would be. It would be more than that. What an encouragement to know that that is the God we believe in. That is the God we trust. The God who can give us the stars, even if we just only see the ceiling of the tent itself. Maybe that should be your homework this week, weather permitting. And read the chapter again. Go outside, look at the stars, and try and imagine what God can give for you. What He can do for you in your life. Expect the stars, as God is able to give them. And ask for them in His grace that He will provide. Amen. Let us have a bit of a discussion about that tonight. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask any questions. But I'm also going to give you the opportunity, if you can think of a time in your life when you were hoping for the ceiling and God provided the stars, more than you were hoping for, so that we might share that with one another as well. Any questions or any comments or anything you can share regarding how God has provided? Okay. None? Yep, Matt.
This is not something that happened to me personally, but it happened in a church, the church that I grew up in. There was a lady who had a paralyzed arm, and my father had a dream that they should pray for her, and so they sort of formed a group and prayed for her and laid hands on her. And they said, when they'd done that, they said, oh, do you feel any better? And she couldn't speak because she was too overwhelmed. So she walked to the piano and just did this chromatic scale up and down the piano with her hand. And then she went to the doctor. We got it checked out. And the doctor said, look, I don't know what happened, but it's better. I'm not going to say why. But the thing that was really touching about it is that on that night, she got to go and see, I think it's Handel's Messiah. It was the timing of it, and it was very special. That music was very special for her, and it was the thing that sort of linked it all together. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. We don't believe in coincidences, do we? So God is sovereign God, and He is commander of everything. So even that would have been under His control. So it's amazing the way He works, I think, in our lives and does those things. And we sometimes just connect the dots afterwards. I think sometimes when we go through life and we find ourselves in the tent, we don't see all the dots being connected. But afterwards, when we look back, we realize how much God has done for us and how He planned everything to just come together for the perfect time. Thanks for sharing that. All right, let's pray.